Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from the Gospel reading, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. This is our text. Later in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus makes this statement. He says, temptations to sin are sure to come. Temptations to sin are sure to come. In other words, we should expect them. But I wonder, do we actually wake up in the morning expecting to meet temptation in the day ahead? And of course, when Jesus says that temptations to sin are sure to come, it also means that we should be prepared for them. I wonder, are we? Are we actually prepared when temptations do come? Do we know what to do? Do we know where to turn? Because no life here is free from temptations, and so no temptation should ever surprise us. The history of God's people, if you read through the scriptures, is a reminder of this. The history of God's people is also a warning for us. Take, for example, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, they were made in the image of God. They were blessed with perfect righteousness. They feared, loved, and trusted the Lord their God without sin. They had the closest possible relationship with God in the Garden of Eden. And yet when the serpent came along and tempted them, they failed. Or take the children of Israel, that history that we heard recounted from Deuteronomy chapter 26. They were slaves in Egypt when God rescued them by a mighty hand. God saved them in a way that they could never have saved themselves. As his chosen people, they enjoyed a unique relationship with God. He promised them grace and every blessing if only they would follow him. And yet they were tempted in the wilderness. And yes, they also failed. What was it that did them in? Did in Adam and Eve, did in the children of Israel in the wilderness? What temptations were so great that caused them to fall? The same temptations that afflict us. It was the lust of the eyes and the desire for worldly pleasures. It was the wish to be great and the wish to rule even over God. And it was the longing for safety and protection on their own terms. And ultimately, if we trace their fall to its very root, it was this. It was their unbelief in God and the fact that they didn't trust God to provide, to rule, and to protect them. And now we come to today's gospel reading. Now here comes Jesus. Luke makes clear that he's still dripping from his baptism. He's beloved of the Father. He's full of the Holy Spirit. And as his genealogy makes clear, he's descended from Adam, the Son of God. So he's a new and second Adam. And he's also in the wilderness, just like the children of Israel. So he's a new Israel. It makes us wonder, what will happen to him when temptations come? Will the new Adam be like the old Adam? Will the new Israel be like the old Israel? Temptations to sin are sure to come. And that's exactly why the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. And that's when the devil struck. He attacked when the Son of God was at his weakest and most vulnerable, when he was tired and hungry, when he was in pain. You know how that is. I would venture to guess that the times when we find ourselves weakest toward temptation, when we find ourselves in the most conflicts and trouble in life, are when we too are tired and hungry and in pain. And the devil's no fool. The devil is subtle and he is nuanced and he knows how to sell sin. Is he ever a salesman? He knows how to put every sin in the best light. He knows how to make promises that sound so good even when we know he could never deliver. He's able to massage things around the edges to make them seem okay. And he attacks our Lord. Not once, not twice, but three times. As we follow these three temptations, it's worth remembering that different things tempt us at different ages. What tempted you when you were 6 years old is different than the things that will tempt you when you are 66 years old. So it's worth asking this question, these questions. Where am I most vulnerable? What are my biggest temptations? And how am I tempted by these same things? So the first temptation was this. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Now, it's not just that the devil questions whether Jesus is truly the Son of God, though that's sort of in there as well, but that it's that he tempts Jesus as God's Son to use his power to serve himself and not others. There's no question that Jesus absolutely could change the stone into bread if he wanted. In fact, he can take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed thousands of people if he so desires. It's not a question of his power, but whether he will use that power to serve himself or to serve others. It's about whether he will give in to his own self, his own desires and be ruled by his body, especially by his belly. We have these same temptations as well. Not only the temptation of food, but the temptation of anything to serve our body and satisfy its desires. Food and drink and drugs and alcohol and sex and worldly possessions. The devil says there's no need to wait. There's no need to be hungry. Instead of asking for your daily bread, instead of receiving whatever God provides, which honestly may not be exactly what we want when we want it, the devil says, seize it. Take it. Take what you want for yourself and meet your own needs now, because you can't trust your Father in heaven to meet your needs. And Jesus answered the devil. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." You see, the problem wasn't that the devil mentioned bread. We have a real need for bread. The problem was he left off the rest of it. The Word, the one who stands behind the bread. Because it's not the bread that gives us life, but it's our Father in heaven who gives the bread that gives us life, that we should be looking to. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst," Jesus says, "for righteousness, for they will be filled," in a way that turning stones into bread or seizing it for ourselves could never fill us. And then the second temptation, the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." The devil promises a kingdom to give power and rule and authority to our Lord. Now, sometimes we scratch our heads at this. How could the devil give Christ anything? The scriptures do call the devil the ruler of this world, by which they mean that he is the ruler of this fallen world and the ruler of those who are ruled by sin. And that is the kingdom he is offering. He promises that the kingdoms of the earth could be the Lord's now. Now, that temptation may seem far from us in some ways. None of us are particularly in the halls of power or tempted by ruling the kingdoms of the earth. But I do wonder what little kingdoms tempt you. Whom would you like to rule? In what places? At home? At school? At work? As a pastor, one of the things that I've reflected on from time to time is how it would probably be the worst possible thing for me as pastor to be able to create a church entirely in my own image, to make a little kingdom for myself to rule. How terrible that would be. But we all have our temptations, the people or the places that we would like to exercise authority over, rather than trusting God to rule them and us. Worship me, the devil says, and it will all be yours. He desires our worship. He desires our allegiance. He desires to know that he has us in his pocket and that we belong to his kingdom. And Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Notice this difference between God and the devil. The devil says, "Worship me and I will give to you." God gives first and then we worship him. He does not demand and say, "Bow on your knees or come before me and worship and I will give you whatever I want." But instead, our God is a God of grace and of mercy, and he freely pours his gifts upon us, and that's why we worship him. He doesn't demand our worship first. And our Lord will have all authority in heaven and on earth. It will be given to him, not by the devil, but by his Father. But not until he's gone through the cross and through the suffering. And the third temptation. The devil took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written..." Note that the devil knows Scripture. "He will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." The temptation for safety and for protection. The temptation to force God's hand to take care of us in all of the ways that we desire. And notice when the devil quotes Scripture, he quotes it in part, but not in full. "He will guard you," the Scripture said, "in all your ways." The way that our Lord had to go was a way that did not involve the Father always protecting him from every suffering and every harm. In fact, the way that our Lord went was a way that would take him into suffering and into harm. The devil is tempting him to be safe without going through his suffering and death. But our Lord knows the way he must go. Our Lord knows the wrath that must fall on him. Our Lord knows that he must strike his foot not only against a stone, but against a nail. Nail's spear shall pierce him through as he bears sins for you and for me. The devil says, "You will know that you are God's son if he protects you in trouble." And Jesus answered him and said, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Our Lord knew that he was the beloved Son of the Father, not because he was protected from every harm and danger, not because his life always went exactly the way he wanted it, he would have wanted it to go, not because he was spared every trial. He knew he was the Father's beloved Son because he had the word of his baptism. "This is my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we have the same assurance and promise. Through the waters of holy baptism, you indeed are beloved sons and daughters of the Father in heaven. And yes, there may be times when we would wish that he would show us in another way, that he would do this for us or that for us, or protect us from that thing or the other thing. But we know who we are. We know that we are his. We know that he loved us so much that he sent his Son not only into this world, but that he sent his Son into temptation for us. Our Lord will feed with bread. those whom he loves. Our Lord will exercise all authority in heaven and on earth for the good of his people. Our Lord will go through suffering and death and then be lifted up from the grave for our sake. Our Lord must go to the cross and not bypass it. He must endure the full suffering and shame of our sin. He must be laid in the grave for our death. Our Lord must be our champion, as he was in the wilderness in temptation. We see there a couple of things to help us in our temptations. We see, first of all, how powerful the Word of God is. We can rely on God's Word. We can trust it to send the devil running. Indeed, I often think that there's nothing that scares the devil more than to hear the Word of God spoken. Nothing that the devil hates more than the word with the water in holy baptism, or the absolution that you heard today, or the word joined to the elements of bread and wine, bringing to us the very body and blood of our Lord. The second thing we see is just how powerful our Lord is. There is a man who is victor over the devil. There is a man who went into single combat with Satan and won. And he is your champion and mine. Greater than Adam, greater than Israel. And you can rely on him. One of the greatest dangers we face as Christians when we are faced with temptation is that we would rely on ourselves and not on him. To be a strong and faithful Christian does not mean that we engage the devil in combat ourselves. To be a strong Christian means that we turn to the one who is strong for us, our Lord Jesus Christ. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. He wasn't done yet. There would be more temptations that our Lord would face, most of all in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's faced with a cup of suffering in front of him or the possibility of walking away. And our Lord chooses the cup of suffering because he chooses you. So for us who are tempted, the temptation of Christ is a great comfort and a great joy. We are reminded, as we heard from the letter to the Romans, that everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. So in temptation's hour, call on his name. Because temptations are sure to come. But woe to the devil, because we have a champion, even Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame all the assaults of the devil, and who overcame them not only for himself, but also for you. In Jesus' name, amen.